From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Talk that matters. Germ Warfare and Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Germ Warfare at tntradio.live. It's my email address. Send me a mail about anything you want, but do tell me where you are mailing from. If you don't let me know, then you lose 10 points. As I said before, knowing where people are listening from is my favorite part. Jeff's in the studio today. He's going to help me sound somewhat decent. He's nodding. Listen, jump into the live chat. Go to tntradio.live. There's a live chat on the front page. I've got it open. Engage if you don't want to send me an email. Please add your name if you do ask a question, because otherwise the default handle is just anonymous. And I mean, okay, if you don't want me to know who you are, then that's also fine. Thank you to everybody who has been sending me emails. Thanks, Steve. He says he's on the edge of North America, Charleston. Someone else, doesn't want me to know where they are, but they give me some weird mathematical location. I'm not going to look that up. 9.55N100E. No, I'm not gonna look that up. Shane, thank you. You don't say, oh no, you do say you're in New Zealand. Keep sending me mails. I do appreciate it very, very much indeed. I'm gonna be chatting about sovereignty and what it means to basically be free. I'm really looking forward to that. It's a very big interest of mine, from a pragmatic level to a philosophical level, and I think they're all integrated. I think all these ideas are integrated, and I see Jeff's giving me the thumbs up. So I think I'm going to get straight to my guest. So let's do this. My name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare, the Battle of Ideas.
Factual news as you need it.
They are a reliable source.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Otherwise known as Sovereign Pete. Thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Oh, I love your accent.
I have a unique accent. It's a blend of all sorts of different accents from England. So I moved around a lot. So this is my accent. I don't think anyone else speaks like I do.
What's really interesting is that we ourselves don't think we have accents until we, talk to people from around the world. And then suddenly we realize that we have accents. I think, for example, I've got a very licorice all sorts, very mangle mush accent, because my accent is sort of a derivative of Dutch and German and Britain and, all those sorts of colonial influences from back in the day. Yeah. And so now I sound like I'm, confused. Because nobody around the world can pick up my accent. And I can't tell where in the UK your accent's supposed to come from.
No one does. No one can place me. So I've got one of these unique accents. But I lived in Yorkshire for a bit, so I had a bit of a Yorkshire accent. And then I lived in London area, when I was much younger. And then areas of Liverpool. So it all blended in. And then I'm in Leicester now, so there's the Leicester accent.
Well, Jeff's Australian and they all sound the same, so it's nice and simple. Now, what is it that you represent? I mean, I think I can get a clue by your name, Sovereign Pete.
Yeah, that's a nickname. It was placed on me. I don't really know who started it. But when I just touch on what happened is during the lockdown, although there was no lockdown for me because it never applied to me. During the lockdown in the 2020s, I started connecting with people, trying to explain to them what's going on and how to escape the system and, this sort of stuff. And I ended up speaking at a local pub because the landlord there was awake. And a lot of people said, well, do you mind speaking in front of an audience? So I says, okay. So I put something together and then no one really knew my full name, and it just stuck. So, oh, you're Sovereign P, you're doing the talk down the dog and gun in Syston, sort of thing, you know. So that's where it came from. But I would say I'm the most sovereign man on the planet.
What does that mean? Sovereignty.
Sovereignty. Right. Sovereignty means that you have dominion over your life. You have supreme authority over your life. You do not allow anyone to tell you what to do. Okay. You do not have the slave mentality. You don't ask questions. You don't ask permission. So this is a mindset that people have to go on their own private journey. You cannot fake sovereignty. You will know when it happens to you. When it does happen to you, you will be able to answer most of your own questions. Okay. So to give you an idea of someone in the wrong mindset is a lot of people get into this sovereignty thing and then they worry. They say, it might damage my credit rating. And I look at them and I go, well, hang on a minute. Did you actually give anyone authority to give you a credit rating? And of course, you didn't. So that's the slave mentality. You are allowing someone else to give you a credit rating, okay? So when you become sovereign, again, you can't fake it, you will be able to answer your own questions. You control your own life. You are totally responsible for your own life. You do not allow anyone to tell you what to do. You don't ask people what to do either, okay? This is very important. You can ask people for advice. You can ask people for information, but you cannot turn around and say, I've got a problem. What do I do? You can't ask me that. If people ask me, what do I do? You know, I've got issues with bailiffs. I've got issues with this. I can't tell you. You have to make your own decision. But what I will do is I will explain to you how the system works, give you some information you probably don't even know about, and then you can make up your own decision, okay? If most people in this planet, if we were all sovereign, we would have no wars, no poverty. You'd have no third world. Okay, you definitely wouldn't have any paedophile rings. That wouldn't happen. And you wouldn't have any central governments. You wouldn't have voting either. And you'd have a world of peace. But unfortunately, most people have a slave mentality. This is done to them since birth. Okay, this is indoctrination. It's also done on a chemical level. All right, so most people out there don't know how to handle their own lives. They have to turn to someone else to run their lives for them. And this is when the politician slips in and says, oh, I'll run your life for you. But it'll just cost you 90% of your wealth and all of your freedom. And you've become a slave and you get liberty. I don't want liberty. I want freedom. Freedom and liberty are not the same. Liberty is privileges and allowances from a higher authority. Okay, this is why there's a giant joke played on the American people. I'm sorry if you're American and you think yourselves as an American citizen. By the way, the word citizen means slave to the city. You're a slave. But if you are an American citizen, unfortunately, you are a slave, you are a citizen to a corporation. You have been given liberty, not freedom. So you're not the land of the free, you're the land of the enslaved with some liberty.
I just finished reading a book called The Most Dangerous Superstition by a gentleman by the name of Lock and Rose. And what you're describing is pretty much the same thing. It's essentially anarchy, but with a much nicer sounding explanation.
Yes, it is. I mean, let's just in case anyone listening does not know what the word anarchy means. A-N-A-N means without, okay, or an. So archy is ruler. So anarchy means without ruler. It does not mean without rules. Now, the problem is because of propaganda and because most people are easily led and they believe what they see on the TV and they read in the newspapers, they think anarchy means chaos. No, it doesn't. It means the exact opposite, okay? So these people believe they must have a government to look after them. By the way, a government is a corporation, unless you know anyone listening doesn't know that. It is a corporate, it's a corporation, and it's a legal fiction. It doesn't exist. So that's another thing that people need to wake up to. Government can't do anything, okay? It's a legal fiction. It only exists on paper. Yeah, but Larkin Rose, he talks about anarchy. I agree with a lot of the stuff he talks about. I just use the word sovereign, and you know, because sovereign is a status, it's not a title. The problem with anarchy is it's a title, because you will label yourself, oh, I'm an anarchist. Don't do that. This is how the people who control the system control you. They will use legal fictions and titles. All right, they are mad on titles. If you accept a title, they will have control over you. For example, Mr. or Mrs. is a title. If you accept that title, you are lowest of the low within the legal system. A police officer is above you. The judge is above you. A lawyer is above you. An MP is above you. Do not accept Mr. or Mrs. It's a title, comes from mercantile law. You're operating in maritime law. You don't want to be a part of that. So reject titles. So yeah, Larkin Rose has got some great stuff. I'd like to chat to him one day when I get around to it, and I might reach out to him. Now, I think the difference between Larkin Rose and myself is, and the Sovereign Project, is we deal with remedy. Okay, so there's a lot of people out there talking about freedom and highlighting the bad goings on. We don't do doom and gloom. We're done with that. So we don't just tell people what's coming. You know, I know this, you know, central bank digital currency, I know it's coming and all the rest. Not interested. So what we do is we present remedies. And what we do is we show people how fragile the system really is. Okay, and it is. If you learn the system and you understand how it operates, you can step out of this system. It is so fragile, it really is. You just got to learn it. So, but yeah, Larkin Rose does great work, and I agree with a lot of what he says. Sovereignty or anarchy, same thing, but anarchy is a title.
Well, you mentioned the Sovereign Project, so would you mind just elaborating?
Yeah. Yeah, so the Sovereign Project is twofold. First, we're trying to reach out to people who are already sovereign and they know it. And they've already joined. A lot of people have joined. They've already got the correct mindset. You can talk to these people and you will know that they are sovereign. Okay, so we've got a lot of people who have joined who are already sovereign and have been for years. Also, what we're looking for is people who want to stop being a slave and want to break their brainwashing and become sovereign. Okay, this is why we hold a weekly workshop. Where I am, we've got workshops springing up all over the country now where people can go. We can help them with their mindset, their social conditioning, and then you can break that. You stop being a slave. You get the correct mindset. Now you are ready to learn how the system operates. It's all commerce, okay? All of it, okay? Like I said before, governments are corporations. They are legal fictions. So we show people the difference between lawful and legal. Most people don't know the difference. All right. They go around saying, you can't do that. It's illegal. Well, the word legal means contract. Okay. It is referring to a contract. It is a legal document. So when someone says to you, you can't do that because it's illegal, the next question you should ask them is, oh, can I see the contract? I'm going to have to see the contract with that policy written on it. And it has to have my signature on it and yours for you to say that's illegal. But people are brainwashed. They're running around, you can't do that, it's illegal. So you've got people sitting in prison because they don't know the difference between lawful and legal. You know, victimless crimes. No such thing. That's an oxymoron. To have a crime, there must be a victim. Okay, that's how it works. A law does not exist until it's broken and then a victim is created. Another thing about law that people don't understand is it can never be written down. Law is unwritten and unspoken. Once you allow someone to write the law down, it becomes policy. He who writes the law makes the law, all right? That's a trap. You cannot allow someone else to write the law. Another thing that people don't understand is that you have your own court. You cannot go to court. If you go to court, you're in someone else's court. You're in someone else's jurisdiction. You've lost already. So people have got to wake up to this. You have your own court in your own dominion, okay? It's your own jurisdiction, and you make the law within your jurisdiction, within your dominion. That's what you do. Everything you own, that's your jurisdiction, including your children, your car, your house, whatever it is. Okay. So if someone enters into my jurisdiction, you follow my law. If you break into my home, I dish out the law. Okay. People need to understand what police officer means as well. They don't deal in the law. Police officers deal in policies. That's where the name comes from. Policy enforcer is police officer. Okay. This says officer. That means they hold office within the legal system. So a policy officer, police officer, is just enforcing a policy on you. And they trick you into entering into joinder with them. So you enter into a contract. If you answer any of their questions, you are now in joinder with that police officer. You've accepted the contract, and now they can enforce policy onto you. Another thing, you can't enforce law. That's not how law works. Law is about balance. So when you hear law enforcement, they don't mean law. They mean color of law or law within contract. Or policy. So they're enforcing policy. That's what a police officer does. So, and they have no power. This is another thing. People think that the police have power. No, they don't. They have zero. None at all. Because when you learn about authority, there's only one authority. That's yours. Okay. For someone to have authority over you, you have to give your authority to them. So if a policeman is trying to apply authority onto you, go, where are you getting this from? I don't remember giving you authority to tell me what to do. And they don't have the authority. You have to answer their questions. Enter into joinder. Bang. Now they can come after you. That's why they ask your name. And they say, what's your name and what is your date of birth? But that's not your name and date of birth. So that, you know, you go down the rabbit hole. That's the birth of your corporation, your legal identity, your birth certificate, because the police only deal in commerce. So when they ask your name and date of birth, what they're saying is, what is the name and date of birth of your corporation birth certificate? If you give that, you can enter into commerce now. And now they can dish out the fines. Again, the word fine is only found in contracts, not in law. If you break the law, okay, then you pay damages to the victim. You don't pay a fine. So this is another thing we do at the Sovereign Project. We try and teach people how to read. Most people, 99.99% of the general public, can't read. They are illiterate. Yes, that's you. If you're listening to this, sorry to tell you, you are illiterate, okay? You might be able to recognize something on a piece of paper, but the average person does not know the meaning. Sorry, carry on.
I'm going to continue with it in a second. I just quickly have to go to an ad break, but I'll be back with you now.
Joseph Arthur on TNT Radio.
I'm surprised that Thanksgiving is not canceled. Wouldn't the woke police go after Thanksgiving? Haven't they railed against it in the past, as it has its roots in the decimation of the Native Americans and all that kind of stuff? The slaughter of the natives of our country. Don't woke people rail against Thanksgiving, or do they take the day off?
The woke culture?
The ones that hate comedy and have a problem with everything. I would think they would have a problem with Thanksgiving.
Well, I don't think we need them to cancel Thanksgiving, because the cost of your Thanksgiving dinner is more than enough to probably cancel it in most places this year, sadly.
You know, they would give Native Americans blankets with, like, the plague in them and stuff like that. And people, I just remember people used to rail against Thanksgiving on those lines. But, you know, I think this year we all just need a celebration of gratitude.
Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
On air
and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Pete, just quickly, when you talk about sovereignty and titles and all that sort of thing, do you perhaps not run the risk of losing your identity?
Ah, let's talk about identity. Yeah, see, your identity is yours. It can't be given to you by someone else. So it's entirely up to you. If you wish to use a title, be my guest. Anyone can use, but they have to choose it. So what I'm trying to say is, don't allow someone to apply a title onto you. Don't accept that title. It says, I haven't given you authority to give me that title. Okay. Another thing about your name, okay, it's not yours. You've been tricked into thinking it is yours. If you use your last name and call it a surname, that means slave name. That slave name is actually owned by the Vatican. It's tied to the financial system. It's tied to the bond and the trust that is associated with you. So you can't use the surname, okay? But if you find on government documents, it'll ask for your surname. If you fill that in, you've lost, okay? And they'll probably ask you to use black ink, and they'll also say use block capitals as well. That's dog Latin. That's used in legal jargon. But anyway. So going back to the titles, yes, you can call yourself whatever you want. It's your name, but you can't give it. So what that means, if someone should ask you, like for example, a judge should say, give me your name. You say, I can't give you my name. Otherwise, I would be without name. Now, there's quite a serious underlining to this. If the judge says to you, give me your name, and you do that, he has control of your name now. You are now an infant. You are a minor. You are an imbecile. okay? Because you've given your name away and you have no voice at that point. Now the judge can do whatever they want to you because you've given your name, okay? So you say, well, I can't give you my name, otherwise I'd be without name, but you can call me Sovereign Pete, all right? So titles are very, very dangerous if you do not understand what the title means, okay? So for example, titles are applied to you all. We spoke about Mr. and Mrs., all right? We don't want to be using those because we know what that means. Also, there's names that are very dangerous, like using the word parent and child. Parent and child are legal titles, all right? They do not mean what the average person thinks they mean. If you use parent and child with social services, you are giving up your child to the social services. You are saying you're a parent. A parent is pay rents, okay? A child is chattel owned by the state. You can't use these words. So titles. One of the titles you've got to be careful of is applying a title to yourself, like occupier. This is where most people fall into the trap. You will receive mail in the post, okay? And it'll probably say, to the occupier. Now, the average person will open that up and they will assume that the occupier is you or themselves, okay? And they've applied that title, occupier, to themselves, and now they're going to respond to that mail. That's a trap. Don't accept that title. That's not your title. And by the way, the word occupier does not mean living in your private home. That is a legal title, and it means that you've seized property through threats and violence. So, for example, if a country, which is a corporation, invades another country, which is a corporation, that is now under occupation. It's a legal word. It's a legal title. So if you see mail that says to the occupier, you say, well, that's not me. I've not authorized anyone to use that title on me. Send it back unopened. No, addressee not recognized. And it's the same. You see to dear sir or madam. Well, sir and madam, that's titles. I'm not using them. Get sent back. Or to the legal occupier. That's another one. No, that's not me. It's not my title. Get sent back. If you are actually in contract with somebody, they will know your name and how you want it written, and you will know their name. And so they will send you documentation in your name without a title, unless you want one, and written in lowercase English or title case English, not all capitals. Here's another way they get around it. So say, for example, a corporation tries to contact you and they're trying to enter into joinder with you. There is no contract, but they sort of know what your name sounds like, but they will write it in a certain way. This is done through speeding tickets. This is the most common. So your first name will be written in title case English, which means the first letter is a capital, the rest is lowercase. Okay. But then your last name will be in all caps. Well, that's an implied corporation. So let's say your name is Joe Smith. What your last name, Smith, will be written in all capitals. Now, it's supposed to say all Smith, John Smith or whatever, PLC. But the police leave that off because then the game is up, okay? Or it might say limited. So that's an implied company that resembles your name. It sounds like your name. But because most people are illiterate, they can't see the deception. So they think it's them. And then they open up their ticket and they go, oh, I've got a speeder ticket. There are no road laws, by the way. This is another scam. All right. There are only policies, and policies only apply to you if you consent. So they send you a contract. The police will send you a contract using a similar name as your own, written as an implied company. And they are offering you a contract. And they're basically saying, we caught you on one of our private cameras that has no jurisdiction over you whatsoever. However, would you like to pay us some money? If so, please sign and date this form. Send it back to us with the money. That's it. That's all they're doing. There are no road laws, then there never can be. Is policy. And for the policy to apply to you, you have to enter into a contract. And we can go into that in more detail if you want.
Yeah, I think we should, but we'll do it in the next few minutes. I just quickly want to hang around a little bit longer on this idea of sort of titles and identity.
Sure.
But Pete, look, is there not a risk of breaking down communication? Because if we talk about, you know, you being a male, am I now saying that I'm not, sorry, are you suggesting that I can't say that because you haven't given me permission? Is that not entering into that sort of woke territory where you identify as?
Okay. Now, what we've got to do is we have to distinguish the difference between a title and a status. Okay. So a status is your being. All right. So one of the things is I am alive. Okay. So that's not a title. That's a status. I am alive. That's a status. That's what I am right now. Okay. I am a man. Again, that's not a title. It is a status. I can't change that. Okay. That's the way I was born. Okay. So my race, again, I'm white. That's my status. I can't change that. It's not a title.
Right.
All right. Okay, so you see the difference between a title and a status. It's like saying married or unmarried. It's not title. That's a status. Either you are or you are not. You are single or in a relationship. Yeah. Status. You see the difference. So we have to distinguish between titles and status. So when someone is applying a word to you, we've got to do this with all words, by the way. People have got to get into the habit of doing this. This is how I don't like using the elite, the parasite class. This is how they trick you. Because what they are hoping you will do is assume the meaning of the word when you should be challenging that word, okay? So, for example, if anyone tries to apply a title onto you and you don't know them, and you know, they're not a friend of yours, so you don't know what they mean by that title. So challenge it and go, well, hang on a minute, what do you mean, man? See, the word man can mean a couple of different things. That can be the species, because man is the species, okay? So you're talking about the species, or man can refer to the male of the species with the word woman, man with womb, referring to the woman of the species, right? So if someone applies a title to you or a word, like the word resident, all right? So if someone says, are you a resident? You say, well, hang on a minute, I need you to define the word resident. Because in legal terms, a resident is the person who does not own the property, all right? So you could say, I don't accept that title, I'm not a resident. Now, this is how the legal system, or the people behind the legal system, the bureaucrats, if you like, or the technocrats, trick you. Because they will send you tax bills. In this country, we have what is called the council tax. But they will use language that the average person cannot read and does not understand. Now, if you read it, it will say something like, in this country, which is a corporation, the UK is a corporation, UK PLC. So they'll send you a document and it will say, any resident over the age of 18 living in a dwelling must pay council tax. When you go, well, hang on a minute, I'm not a resident. I've never allowed that title to be applied to me. So reject the word resident. And then the word dwelling. I don't live in a dwelling. I live in a private home. A private home cannot be taxed. So the way they do it is they change the words and hope you don't notice the switch and you just assume what they mean, and then the trap is sprung. So you have to challenge every word. So if you get these documents in the post, challenge the word. Go, what do you mean by resident? What do you mean by dwelling? All this sort of stuff, you see. And that's why I say, what I mentioned before, people are illiterate. They don't understand the meaning of the word, of the words they are reading.
Yeah, I think I see where you're going with this. Hold on. I just quickly need to do news headlines. Pete, I'll be back with you now.
Matt Boyland here with a check of your TNT headlines. Hungary's foreign minister has spoken out in defiance of EU and US pressure over his country's ties with the Russian nuclear sector. The death toll from the devastating earthquake in Indonesia has risen to 268 as rescuers continue to recover bodies from the rubble. And Poland's president has been fooled by a pair of Russian pranksters into believing he was speaking with the French president, telling him he doesn't want a war with Russia.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk. TNT Radio. TNT Radio.
Pete, I got an email now from Mark. He says, this all sounds nice and logical, but does it work? As long as they have guns, tasers, and minions, who will use... they will use force against you and you will be railroaded by violence.
Right. This question gets asked a lot. Now, I want to be absolutely clear. Paperwork will not save you. All right. Laws do not save you. All right. Evil people, criminals, will do criminal acts against you regardless of paperwork. It doesn't matter. Okay. It might come to that. If society collapses, if you like, okay, fine, I'm not using pens and paper anymore. But we're not at that stage yet. We have some sort of resemblance of some sort of civilization, although the word civilization has its own connotations. You do not want to be a civilian, because a civilian is someone who's controlled by civil procedure, Roman civil codes. Anyway, so while we've got some sort of society operating, we can use paperwork. Now, using paperwork on an individual basis is very difficult. if you don't know what you're doing. It depends who you're going after, by the way. If you're going after someone low level, if it's your local shop or something trying to mandate you to have a mask, that's an easy one. All right, you just sue the shop for 10 grand or whatever. That's not difficult. But going after some of these big corporations, especially government corporations, can be difficult. This is where the numbers comes into it. All right, the more of us who learn this, the more of us who use this, the easier it is for the rest of us. And that's what the Sovereign Fraternity is about, which I set up a couple of years ago. So the members who join are people who want to learn. They want to know how the system operates. What is this about the birth certificate? What's the SESTA KV trust? How does the monetary system actually operate? Why is there actually no debt in this world? Why is it just debt and credit? You know, when people start to learn this, and when they learn about the words like register, for example, and there's enough of us, then we can act. Now, let's just touch on the word register. This is another thing that people don't understand. The word register means handing over ownership. This is very important. So when you are dealing with government organizations or any corporation for that matter, if you register with them, what you're actually doing is you're entering into a trust stroke contract, okay? And you are handing over ownership, and you have got only left with the user rights, all right? Once that's happened, you can be controlled by that corporation. So for example, in this country, we have what is called the DVLA, okay? This is where cars are registered, and vehicles, if you like. By the way, the word vehicle is another legal term. You do not ever admit to owning a vehicle. And also being a driver, that's another legal term. I'm not a driver, that's a title applied to someone in commerce. So what happens is you get your car and you register it with DVLA in this country, which is a corporation. DVLA, corporation, it has no authority. It's no different than McDonald's. But what you've done is you've given them your car. They own it. They have the property rights to it. Now what they will do is they will send you a logbook. And if you read the logbook, it will say you are the registered keeper. You're not the owner anymore. In fact, it even says on it, this is not proof of ownership because you've given that away. Then what you've been given is what is called a license plate. This is why people are illiterate. They can't figure this out. License means asking for permission. You are now using government property under license. That's why you need a license plate. That number on that car of yours is not yours. It's owned by the government or the government agency, which is DVLA. All right. You are now using that car under license. Now that you are using it under license, what else do you need? A driver's license, because now you need license to drive it. So you enter into this contract. So you've just given away your car. You've just put a license plate on it. And now you need a driver's license. You've entered into a contract. Now you've done that. You are susceptible with all the policy associated with that contract, which is speeding tickets and parking tickets and not driving over a double white line or whatever it is. Now you've accepted the policy. Now that you are liable to pay. That's the trap. And the average person cannot see that. So what's the solution? Deregistration. You can take your car back. Now, I'm talking in layman's terms here. Okay, the actual way of doing it is a bit more complicated and you will receive resistance. But you have every right in taking that car back, sending back the license plate and say, I'm not going to be registering with DVLA anymore. I now own this car outright. I have the property rights, I have the user rights. At that point, you are no longer required a driver's license. You are no longer under the policies of the highway code. That doesn't mean that you can be a crazy person and drive up the pavement and cause chaos. It just means you're not liable for any of the policies. So people have been tricked, okay? They've done this with your house. So for example, you registered your house with the land registry. That means you don't own it, okay? The average person thinks they own their home. No, you don't. Read the deed. So even if you've paid your mortgage off, mortgage means death pledge, by the way. So once you've paid your mortgage off, you get your deed. That's written in legalese, okay? That's not you. The name will be written in all caps, more than likely, depending on which country you are in. That is an implied corporation. It's not you. It will say wording on there. It might call you a resident. That's not you. It might say statutory resident. That means you're now under statutory jurisdiction. That's, again, that means it's not your deed. You might say plot. Or you might have a lot number, lot in all caps, L-O-T, lease of title. You're just leasing the title. You don't own it. A lot means that you've been assigned a use of land within someone else's jurisdiction, within a contract. This is where the word allotment comes from. You don't own an allotment. You get it from the council. The council allows you to use it. So what we do is we show people how the legal world works. Go and take a look at Black's Law Dictionary. Do not use Oxford English Dictionary because the government does not use Oxford English Dictionary. They're sending documents to you that's not even written in English. So we show people how to read. It violates the Four Corners Rule. All the fonts are incorrect. But yes, people need to learn to read. Once you learn to read and understand basic contract law, you will see the deception. And when there's a lot of us, a few million of us globally, then this all comes to an end. It's that simple. Just get educated.
Is what you're describing also known as common law?
Ah, common law. We have to be careful of this title. There's a lot of people. This common law got popular in 2020 because the average person was asleep and they thought that the government actually dealt in law. They do not. They deal in legislation. That's just offers. It's color of law. All right. The word human, by the way, don't use that word. Human, hue means color. Human, color of man. The government operates in color of law, color of man, and courts of color, not law. So anyway, a lot of people woke up in 2020 because they thought, oh, my word, the government's being tyrannical. They're unleashing all this law. It's not law. It's policy. And it was your choice to accept it or not. So they started looking for common law. This was a bit of a mistake. Now, if you research what common law is, there's many different jurisdictions of common law and there's different origins of where it comes from. Now, if you go back over 2,000 years to the Roman Empire, common law was applied to the common people. It was civil codes, Roman civil codes. It was applied to the civilians. The word civil, okay, that refers to a slave. A civilian is a slave that the master employs a policy upon. So you go into common law. Over 2,000 years ago, that was referring to Roman civil codes, which are still operating today. You've also got crown common law. Now, you've got to be careful of the word crown. So what crown are you referring to? Because that could refer to a monarch or it could refer to the crown corporation that owns everything today. Crown copyright, for example, that's the number one corporation that owns everything, including countries. So common law. So 1,000 years ago in England, common law again came from the king. All right. And it was common to all. So what was happening is lords and barons had their own separate courts and were dishing out different forms of law. And the peasants complained and said, that baron says one thing and this baron says another. So the king came in and says, right, OK, I am now going to create common law. So law is now common to all and all the courts must act the same. So that's common law. So people are looking for this magical common law. And the problem is, if you go looking for law and you find it written down, anything that's written down, that's someone else's law. Someone else wrote that. Okay? And you don't know that game. You don't want to play that game. So one thing, when I've been studying law for a very, very long time, and what I came to realize is that you make the law. Okay? You don't go looking for it. You make the law. Okay? You do it with your own paperwork. That's what people have got to do. Stop looking for it, okay? Because you will end up in acts and statutes and case law and all this sort of stuff, and you will start quoting it, and you will go up against a lawyer or a barrister or a solicitor that knows how to handle you and will decimate you because you don't know what you're doing. So again, it's mindset. You cannot go looking for law because that is someone else's law because they penned it, they wrote it, okay? So common law isn't really a thing. Today, common law is completely corrupted anyway, although that most courts today operate like a foundation of common law, which has got some good in it, but is layered on top is corporate legislation. It's corrupted. You can't fix it, all right? And by the way, the word court comes from a Latin word. I think it's cortio. It comes from a place where you would trade securities and bonds, which is what a modern court does today, by the way. It's not changed. A court is a bank. So when you go to court, if you go, you're entering into a bank. It's commerce. They want you to admit to your name and date of birth. Once you do that, then you will pay a fine. The fine itself is trivial. You might pay $100 or $500, whatever it is for your speeding ticket. They don't really care about that. They want access to your Sister KV trust, and they'll probably dip in there for about $100,000, $200,000, depending on what the situation is. But that's what's going on. It's the same if you go to prison, you see. If you go to prison, the prisoner is now a commodity. And because you've agreed to go to prison, you consented, even though you were tricked into consenting, you consented, you are now in a prison cell. The prison system is now making millions off you because now entering, or they now have the right to access your SESTA KV trust. So yeah, all courts are corporate, they're administrative, they are banks. There's three jurisdictions within these courts. One is of a bank. That's the first one. If you beat that, the magistrate or judge will leave the room, come back, and they will now operate in a different jurisdiction. This is when you will be operating under maritime law, second jurisdiction. If you can beat that, the judge will leave again, come back, and now he's a priest. Now it's a religious court, okay? If you beat that, which is very difficult, if you really know what you're doing, I would not suggest the layperson to even attempt this. But if you beat that, then you win. But there's three jurisdictions of these courts. They have got nothing to do with law. They only deal in the dead. They can only recognize dead entities, legal fictions, corporations. That's where the word corporation means, you know, corporate, corpse, corporation. That's where it comes from. They can only deal in legal fictions and dead entities. So you can study the courts. It's all Masonic. The God that they worship is Baal. It's not the Christian God. So if you swear on the King James Bible, the Christian God has been removed. All right, it's dogged. They use dog Latin. So that book is now being dogged. So if you see the word Lord, the capital L is one size, and then ORD is in capitals again, but it will be a different size font. Well, that doesn't say Lord, and it's not referring to the Lord, the Christian God. So you're swearing on Baal, their God within their satanic system. But you can go down that rabbit hole if you wish. That's another subject altogether.
Okay, Pete, I have to do my last ad break. I'll be back with you in a moment.
Global leaders want vaccine passports for travel. Oh, yes, it's back.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
A declaration signed at the G20 summit by world leaders urged digital COVID-19 certificates to, quote, facilitate seamless international travel. Here is an explanation direct from the G20 summit.
So let's have a digital health certificate acknowledged by WHO if you have been vaccinated or tested properly. Then you can move around.
Yes, that's right. You can buy your freedom by giving in to totalitarian demands for a mandated vaccine. They went on to say you can provide some movement of the people during lockdowns. They are already planning new ways to curtail your freedom. Are you going to accept this? Hell no. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio. Thanks for listening.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
George Soros has supported the election of numerous left-wing DA candidates. Since 2016, when Soros first began to back the campaigns of district attorneys, Capital Research Center researchers have tracked more than $29 million in funding from Soros through political action committees, PACs, formed specifically to back left-wing DA candidates. In total, Soros's cash has generously supported over 20 individual candidates, many of whom won their elections and remain in office. They include Diana Becton, Contra Costa County, California. Becton was one of the first in the position to have no prior experience as a prosecutor. During Becton's first years in office, four Contra Costa cities made the list of the top 100 most dangerous cities in California in 2018, and both violent crime and property crime increased in 2019. Soros has spent a combined $6 million on California DA races, much of it wasted on failed candidates. But almost half was spent on the successful campaign of George Gascon from Los Angeles DA. Since the election, Gascon's implementation of left-wing policies led to a crime wave with soaring homicide rates and increased shoplifting sprees. Kim Fox, Cook County, Chicago, Illinois, who's known for her 2019 decision to drop charges against Jussie Smollett for his infamous hate crime hoax, has made headlines for presiding over Chicago's largest spike in homicides in more than 30 years, while her office dropped charges against 30% of felony defendants during 2020.
Democracy is under attack. The Australian government wants to control free speech and the internet. Disagree with what government is saying and you'll be shut down and could face severe penalties. To find out more, go to digi.org.au. Lighting the fuse for freedom. This is TNT Radio.
Pete, so I'm getting a number of comments, as I'm sure you are used to, with this kind of conversation, and particularly in the following line of thinking, and that is, are you not being too academic here? Because if people, let's say, don't stop at a traffic light or at a roadblock, they're going to lose. Is this not about a case of choosing your battles? Because otherwise, the might of the state is just simply too powerful. And do you want to end up in jail, for example, not paying taxes?
Well, there's a lot to unpack with that question. First, the tax thing is an offer. All right. Now, you've got to choose your language correctly. You see, this is why we try and educate people and show people to use their language correctly. Right. You cannot ever say things like, I refuse to pay my taxes. So you say that, you will go to prison. Why? Because what you've done is you've accepted the obligation to pay. You've just used the word, I refuse, and it's my taxes. Well, there you go. You're done. All right. So it doesn't matter how good your lawyer is, you're going to lose this game. By the way, the lawyer wants you to lose. Even if you pay for him and you're paying his salary, you know, to represent you, he wants you to lose because he's going to make a lot more money from your Sesta KV trust. So taxes are voluntary. So what you do, you've got to get your mindset right. You've got to turn everything into a question. And what you need to do is challenge two things, which is obligation. And you also challenge authority. So if you get a tax bill, first of all, do not deal with a legal fiction, all right, because you'll lose that game. Legal fictions do not exist, so you can't deal with them, all right? So you can't deal with the government or the police or the National Health or whatever corporation it is you're dealing with, all right? They're all corporate, all of them, okay? So you've got to get the name of an employee who works for said corporation. Let's call him Bob. So Bob sends you a document saying you've got to pay tax. Okay, Bob, am I obligated? So you reply to him, am I obligated? Now he's got a problem because you're not. And now he has to try and prove it. And now he's got a major problem because he has no proof. So when he can't give you the obligation, because there is none, there is no contract, all right? You didn't agree to it. And a contract must have two signatures on it, your signature and Bob's. If there is no document like that, then there is no obligation to pay. So you start challenging it. Say, well, hang on a minute, Bob. You've said I've got to pay tax, but there is no contract here. Where you're getting off on trying to say, I've got to pay you when there is no contract, that's a torturous act, right? Tort is very serious. So a tort is above civil. So you've got civil, tort, and criminal. These are the three basic jurisdictions. Civil is a dispute within a contract, all right? So there's an existing contract, but now there's a dispute over it. That's a civil. Tort is where a contract is being forced upon you or applied upon you where one does not exist. That's much more serious, and you can even go to prison for a torturous act. Criminal, that's the next level. That shows intent was to commit a crime, all right? There's a victim. It was an intent to defraud. You can actually move a tort to criminal. So you can go back to Bob and say, look, Bob, if you can't prove the obligation that I have to pay this, then you've committed a tort against me. If I can prove that you're doing this to defraud me, then that's criminal. You're going to prison for this, mate. What people have got to do is stop living in the dead world of legal fiction. Stop doing this. If you are in a mess, if you're receiving documents in the post threatening you with court action and money to pay, and there is no existing contract, someone is doing this to you. A person, a living, breathing man or woman is doing this. They are the one pressing enter on that keyboard, and that letter is now being printed and sent to you. Find out who that is. So get back to the living. You challenge the living person who has sent that document. All right. So that should hopefully challenge the answer, the tax thing. All right. You do this with everything. All right. If you get a parking ticket, challenge the obligation. Am I obligated? And we show people how to use what is called equity law. This is a thing about law. There's different levels to law, different jurisdictions, right? Acts and statutes are very low down the totem pole, okay? Acts and statutes are just corporate policies. They don't apply to you. So we operate in equity law. That's very high, okay? Trust law is also within equity law. So we use the law of equity, which is like notices, affidavits, we'll use the lien process, that sort of stuff, okay? So if someone's coming after you like a debt collector, learn how they defraud you. These debt collectors are scamming you. They will never, ever make a direct demand for payment from you because they can't. You have to spot that. So if a debt collector's coming after you, say, hang on a minute, are you actually making a direct demand for payment from me? They're not. They're not. They're just bringing up this fake debt. They don't even own the debt in most cases. They've just bought a database, okay? And they're just hoping you don't know. And then you can go after the debt collectors and says, right, well, you've come knocking on my door. That's a torturous act. I'm now going to sue you. So now this is the brainwashing part. I hear this all the time. When I say about there are no road laws, people go, oh my God, that means everyone will just jump red lights and kill everybody. All right, I'll ask you, would you do that?
No.
No, of course not. I stop at a red light. I don't do it because there's a law or legislation telling me I have to, okay? I'm not doing it because, oh, I might get a fine. I'm doing it because I know that there's a safety issue. I am quite capable of driving my car without a license, without following DVLA highway codes. I can do it very safely, not a problem. I will use traffic lights because I understand the dangers of not. And by the way, this, oh, people will jump through traffic lights argument. So let's say we've got legislation right now that says you are not allowed to jump red lights. Does that stop people from jumping red lights? No.
No, of course not.
Of course not. It's the gun law thing, right? This is it's insane. People say, oh, you've got to have gun laws. Okay, gun laws. Why do you need gun laws? Well, so people can't do bad things with guns. Well, wouldn't that make them criminals? And if they are criminals, why would they even care about what laws exist on the books anyway? Again, this is a mindset. People have got to stop being children. All right. You've got to stop this. You have to become responsible for your own life. And you've got to stop being pulled into hypothetical what ifs. This is how politicians trick you. They do it all the time. They go, oh, what if someone jumps the red light? We better create some legislation to stop that. And then the average person goes, okay. And the trap is set. It's like the speed camera. Remember the speed cameras when they come out about 30 years ago in the late 90s? I remember when the first one came out. And the police said, oh, no, we're only doing the odd one. All right. We're just doing it for safety reasons. All right. That's what we're doing it for. People went, okay. Now look at it. We've got speed cameras every 200 meters now. Every single person's getting caught speeding. And it's about the money. It's not even about the fine, because the police is actually dipping into your Sister KV trust. That's what they're really after. They're securitizing your speeding ticket. So you signed, again, the word ticket gives the game away. Ticket. That's legal. That's a contract. You don't get a ticket in law. Again, people are illiterate. People have got to grow up. Look, if humanity, I don't like using the word humanity or mankind, if mankind is going to get to the next level of its evolution, they have to grow up. All right. You have got to become adults. You've got to become responsible for your own life and just look after your own life and stop falling for the lies that these politicians spit out. I just want to touch on democracy as well. I just listened to one of your one of the adverts before in the break, and it says, oh, you've got to save your democracy. Here's the thing. The average person does not know what a democracy even is. Democracy comes from the word democratic, which is Latin. It means sovereign people. It means the people, the individual makes the law. In a democracy, there is no voting. In a democracy, there is no political parties. There is no central government. It's a scam. What these politicians are actually referring to is what is called pirate democracy under maritime law. Okay. Not true democracy. True democracy, there's no central government, there's no political parties, there's no voting. It's a scam. All of that is maritime law on pirate democracy. All right. People have got to wake up to this. It's one massive scam. All right. And you can't even vote your way out of this. Don't vote. It does not work. The politicians don't work for you anyway, even if you vote for them. Here's the thing with the voting form. People don't understand this because they're illiterate. You get your voting form. Well, the first thing, what have you done? You've registered to vote. So what have you done? You've just handed over your power of attorney, haven't you? Well done. So you get your form. Here's another thing. The form, it's not your form. It's theirs. You're now operating in their jurisdiction. That's the thing. Do not use their forms. Use your own paperwork. So you get a voting form. You'll notice it'll be all in boxes, and they'll get you to write your name, and they'll say, use black ink. You write your name, sign. That is you signing for your corporation. Here's what they'll actually get you to do. Put it in a box. They'll say, use a cross in black ink, right? Against the party. Yeah. What have you just done? A cross is a sign or a signature from a simpleton who does not have the ability to think for themselves. You've given away your power of attorney.
Right? Pete.
Sorry, mate.
I've got to interrupt because I think you can see the time. We are very fast running out. So I think I'm going to invite you back because I see Jane in Ireland is loving you. And there's so much to cover. So yes, quickly, very quickly. Yeah. Okay, extremely quickly. Where can I follow you or find you?
We have a website, thesovereignproject.live. There's free documentation. Download it, share it, not a problem. It's copyright free. And you can contact me through that. Okay, there's emails on there.
Oh, that was perfectly quick. Thank you. Sovereign Pete, it's been an absolute pleasure. I've really enjoyed chatting to you. I'm going to invite you back if that's okay with you. Thank you for joining in the trenches.
Anytime.
Cool. All right. Thank you to everybody who was engaging in the comments. Thank you for the emails. Thank you, Jeff, for keeping this hour going. I will be back with you in the next hour. My name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare, the Battle of Ideas.